Welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt Misler sitting on the other side of the glass again. Matt Leach is down under the weather, and Matt Misler was nice enough to step in, sit in the chair.
Just so that he didn't bring that stuff up in here, that's all.
No, we don't need that.
I don't need to come in here like in a couple days and have whatever lingering around just to get in my system. I just come back going, Leach. Boy, if you don't,
you would have to replace that foam thing in front on the mic.
Oh, man. I'd have to replace everything. Just changing everything out, taking this entire board, throwing it out the window, and everything.
I had my flu for the winter time. I had that chest congestion.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness, brother, That killed me. Damn near killed me. All the medicine I had to take. That over-the-counter stuff, of course.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all of that. Oof. Mucinex. Had to get some of that Robitussin.
Yep.
Had to get you. I lived it.
Mm-hmm.
I lived it. It was like I had asthma. I couldn't walk around the block.
No, I know. That's why some people get the flu shot. I got mine last.
Well, I'm going to go get mine.
A couple months ago.
Now that he's sick, I'm going to have to go get one.
That you just have to put yourself in a bubble. You don't
I know.
Have to worry about it. One of the two. I mean, I'm pretty sure they probably sell like hazmat suits like down the block. There's probably like some army surplus shop that got a hazmat suit for Jamie to hook up.
We ain't getting around too many people that are sick and they're getting it again.
I know.
And I'm like, dude, really? I just had that crap, man. Mm-hmm. I can't get it again. And I know where I got that first one. I'm telling them nasty kids. I got a kid. I'm sorry.
The kids.
I can't get this one. I don't want that.
Mm-mm.
Not anymore. I'm done.
Nope.
Anyway, as we were talking, Michigan lost to Wisconsin. Coach Beilein. Now, you know what? I think the players will sit down and they'll listen to what he has to say. Now you got to focus. Now you got them focused. Winning 17 games. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell a kid, you know, you need to do this and do that because they're listening. But yet, we winning. Coach, we winning, though. So now you get that first loss. And as Coach said, some of these kids... never knew what a loss was at Michigan.
Right.
17 straight. Now they got one on the road. And as you said, it's hard to win on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in Wisconsin. Not the same Wisconsin as we once knew. But, hey, they had everything to gain on this one.
I think if I'm not mistaken, that Wisconsin's the only team that Beilein has got a losing record to in the Big Ten.
Really?
I think. It's only got, I thought it was like 3-14 or something like that. It's not a good record.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, something about the Kohl Center, too.
Yeah, there is. Well, something about everybody kept falling. Did you notice everybody was slipping and falling?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that.
And it had nothing to do with the weather, either.
It's the ice under the floor.
Yeah.
Got to be. Condensation, something making them slip. They were going down like they were on ice. Anyway, don't want to not to beat that. We're moving to today. We got a game at 7 o'clock at Chrysler Arena against Minnesota. They got to get ready for that. But we want to play what Coach Beilein had to say to the media. Here's Coach B.
So good day off for students in this weather. But Wisconsin loss was tough for us because it had been a long time since we lost. And I didn't even know how to feel after it. If it wasn't a national championship game, it had been a long time. So we got through it. The sun's coming up. And we talked about it yesterday. We tried to grow in the areas that we need to grow the most, and there's a lot of areas. And now we have a formidable opponent coming in with Minnesota, who had a great win the other night. And this way it's going to be from here on out, right? So schedule changes after game. More games were on the road than at home in our first 18 games. Obviously, I think we played only four true road games. It all changes, and you got to protect at home and try to win some on the road.
You talked before about how, you know, your goal was not to go undefeated and how, like, sometimes a loss can be good for a team. So how are you approaching that, having the first loss, you know, this weekend and trying to grow from that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, my goal is just – I don't have goals other than let's make the most out of every single day. So I don't even think about being undefeated, but let's make the most out of every day. And we can make the most out of that. And losses – we'll sit more with people, including the coaching staff, about things you got to do better. So I think yesterday's film session and yesterday's walkthroughs on the court and things that we prepared to for we finished the Wisconsin game, we prepared for Minnesota. I think people understand as we get into this part of the season, including the coaches, how important each possession is, and that we got if we can control things we can control, we can be a much better team. That was the message.
And you also talked about knowing which areas more that you need to like work on.
Oh yeah, there's a whole bunch of them.
What are those? Some.
You probably have to ask all our opponents. I'm not going to tell you, just every, I'm probably never going to tell you what our weaknesses are, right? That would not be very smart of me, right? And we have just like every team, we have blind spots, and we have to work at those.
In the film session and the walkthrough, I mean, did you sense difference among the players, given that it was the first loss and more attention
no,
to detail?
It's hard to tell that, you know, but... Yeah, you know, we were sloppy, not just on the defensive offensive end. We were sloppy on the defensive end with some things. Credit Wisconsin again. They had a great game plan defensively. They really just made us score over them like Wisconsin teams always do. And you got to make shots. We didn't get many open shots, and we didn't make some of the open ones we got. So it was just a typical loss to Wisconsin. That's what it is. They don't beat themselves. And they hope you're going to miss more. Just what was unusual was the sloppiness in defense, and it probably is a carryover from the turnovers we had on offense.
And then, you know, the freshman wall is a term, and then obviously the book being out on a guy
yeah.
with Iggy. How confident are you that this was just a
yeah? You
got to
look at the big data on him, right? But these are just things that everybody goes through, whether you're a senior or whether you're a freshman. You're going to have dry periods where the ball just doesn't seem to go in, and then all of a sudden you lose confidence or you lose something. He'll be right back at it, and he's a tremendous player, and he's going to shoot it when he's open, and he's going to pass it when he's not, and really proud of the way he's handled this whole thing, the entire season so far.
I know coaches just sort of look to the next game, but when you see a team, teams that are undefeated, running through a league, is that not good for the league's sort of overall perception and in terms of as you get to March, or is it better for there to be some balance and some, you know, at least a few teams sort of knocking each other off?
I think that most of the teams that go undefeated during November and December are because they played mostly home games, and now you go into conference play, now it's going to be one for one. And you just see it's going to happen to everybody, and it's going to continue to happen. It's just so hard to do right now, which is huge testimony to what that 76 Indiana team did, to be able to go through the season like that. So I think everybody realizes that the non-conference is the non-conference, and when you get into it right now, you could lose a whole lot of games and still be a heck of a team because of playing home, playing away, and the conference is really strong this year.
John, I don't know if you had a chance to diagnose it, but I guess what was behind not getting enough good shots against Wisconsin? It looked like in the beginning it was Jordan making a lot happen in ball screens.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, we didn't have the opportunity. We had five charges in the game. You know, we had a couple of really careless turnovers in the game with deflection. So all of a sudden you don't get 16 times down the court, you lose your shots there. And then we took some ones that probably we can get better shots on. I mean, without question. And that's where our guys have to learn. I think we got a lot of guys, a lot of courage, a lot of confidence. But what they think might be a great shot is not a great team shot for us. And we just got to continue to work and educate them. What does a Michigan shot look like? And it's different for everybody on the team. You know, what is the shot that you're making every day in practice? That's the Michigan shot, right? And it's going to be different for one player than another, but that's what we want you to take. And when we try to go above that too much, that's when you can get yourself into trouble.
Actually, on that, for Ignis, you know, what do you think are his best shots, and how can he be put into that situation more often to get the looks?
He's a big-time shooter, and he's got to look to shoot from outside instead of just driving on everybody like I'm not a shooter. Charles is in the same category. I mean, both of them, you know, yesterday the shooting drills, they just blew them out of the water, just the straight out. That's all they did yesterday was shooting. It was like, all right, and you turned all those down, especially Charles. And so, no, that's one area. And then just like most people, getting to the basket now, the bodies are bigger than they were earlier in the year. Just continue to work at that, at finishing there. And then everybody in the country, and that's why Wisconsin is so good, needs an in-between game. Everyone on our team needs to improve their in-between game, and those are his biggest areas right now. And don't forget, we got five guys that are all, if you did shots per minute, we got four guys that are taking almost the same minutes per shot on the team, and then John's just a little bit down there. So, you know, there's a lot of shots that are they're being shared by a lot of people, so it won't always be there for some people.
And Ignis has, in the last four games, gone down on shot attempts. Is he just being checked differently?
Yeah, yeah. People are, and like, for example, they put Hap on him, made him shoot over length, which he didn't, after he missed a couple, he stopped, he turned down a couple opportunities. And then he got in foul trouble again, right? And that was a tough call. He made a great assist. It was a 50-50 call, went the other way. That happens. And all of a sudden, he's going to sit a little bit so we can play in the second half.
John, obviously, Ethan Happ had a pretty good game against you guys. Mm-hmm. How do you guard more mobile bigs like him going forward?
He's one of a kind. I mean, he's just one of a kind. I don't know how you guard a guy who one-on-one can see everybody. He can score. He's got great foot. I mean, he's just like a clinic with his footwork. And then a lot of guys can do that, but they can't see the open guy. And he saw his 7 assists and 1 turnover. It wasn't his 26 points. It was those seven assists. You know, there was 5 threes and then the 1 drop-off when we were up at 3, and he split a double team. That we were really sloppy in our double teams. And he split a double team, and they got an old-fashioned three-point play. That's, you know, nobody will ever figure that one out until maybe you have an NBA type of center on him and just somebody that's really an elite defender. Now, John did have three or four blocks, but he had a pretty good. He had a good game, and he did it last year on Mo and John together, and he does it on everybody.
John, you kind of touched on it with Charles passing up the open shots on the perimeter. Do you feel like that's a confidence thing, or is he just overthinking?
That's something he and I continue to discuss, and the guy's got the green light on a walk-in and any type of walk-in three, and what he sees himself open or not are two different things, and he. When you don't take it and then you walk on it, that just makes it even worse. So he's working on it. We were working on both of those things yesterday, and he's got to take the shots. He's got to take the shots in practice. He's got to take the shots in games. He's got to be really look at this great opportunity to help his team win by taking those shots.
And then after the Wisconsin game, you talked about you want him to be more. I guess when you look at film with him, what things are you maybe pointing out to him?
Just when he has opportunities to get closer to the basket and finish at the basket, that's a great opportunity for him to finish closer to the basket. And so we're working with him all the time, and you've seen him sometimes go baseline and just dunk it on anybody. He's got to be able to do that going through traffic sometimes, going the other way. So just being more aggressive at completing his dribble towards the basket.
Curious if you did go to school on that rule?
I was completely wrong. And I actually remember the genesis of it is back in the old days when I was at Lemoyne and Syracuse had a bad foul shooting team, and John Thompson and Georgetown would just like grab Ronnie Cicely, and the game would take forever. And hadn't seen it happen since then. It didn't happen last year to Xavier Simpson or any of our guys that weren't it went through a foul shooting slump last year. It never happened. And I wasn't. I just said, just off the ball. Just don't make it look intentional, right? But like I said, I have, when you're intentionally fouling, we actually don't call it an intentional foul. We call it another name. Right? When you're trying to foul late in the game, I will tell official we're trying to foul, and we will try and foul, and they will call the foul. And I completely goofed. And that was a really pivotal point in the game, and they made the right call.
And then with Minnesota, you know, what are some of the things that they're doing, you know, better this year, I guess, than they did did last year?
Oh, you know, their assist turnovers are really outstanding. They got more assists than they've ever had. You know, Murphy is just a really, really good player. I think just right now that they are just they're probably a more efficient. They're really an efficient offensive team right now. They've always been good defensively, but right now they're really a good, a really efficient offensive team that gets good shots and has a good inside-outside package. Offensive rebounding is off the charts. It's as good as they're anywhere in the league, and that's a big thing for us to get them off the boards.
I wonder, obviously you dealt with it in 13 with the big start and all that and then kind of vaulting up into the rankings and whatnot. And I wonder what you've kind of learned in terms of dealing with a team that's in that situation over the course of time of what's the best way to approach.
Yeah, yeah. You're a victim of your own success against it. Any losses are magnified, and it's really not the truth. The truth is the schedule is much different in the first 18 than it is in the last 13. Much different. And especially with us starting with four home and two away in the league. So it is where you try to explain that to your team without taking away confidence and without scaring them to the future. You try to make sure they know who our team really is, what we're capable of, but that a loss is a loss. Learn from it and move on.
And that was Coach Beilein on the upcoming game tonight at 7 against Minnesota. And he revisited back on obviously – the media wanted to talk more about the loss. I know it's his first loss. Last time they lost was at the national championship game. And how this will affect this team. I look for this team to come out and look like they, as he said, gave them a day off. I look for them to come back. And I think they shoot lights out on the home court. I think against Minnesota. Not to say that Minnesota is going to be a game that they should blow out, because don't look for there's no games in the Big Ten that are going to be blowouts. Now teams are going to come in here and they're going to analyze what they saw against the Wisconsin game, and they're going to try to do the same. They're going to try to replicate what teams have done, you know, and that's what I would do. I'd take the film and break it down. But as Coach Beilein said, there's only one Ethan Happ. I mean, that, and he had a game.
Mm-hmm.
He had a big game. So when you couple that in with some bad shooting and some bad choices of not taking shots by some of the players and bad shots taken by some other players, I mean, it was a perfect storm in Madison, Wisconsin. But that being said, this team is going to come back and rebound. They're a winning team. They know how to win. They're a defensive-minded team. They know how to play defense. Those two things did not follow them to Madison for some reason.
Like, I mean, I mentioned this before, at the beginning of the show, that it just seems like a lot of these earlier contests that Michigan plays have kind of been a bit of an issue for the Wolverines, whether it be 12 noon tip Eastern time, mm-hmm. which would have been 11 o'clock in Wisconsin.
Right.
Or even the Western Michigan game before the, during the holiday break that we were having, that was a 2 o'clock tip off. I mean, I don't know if it's just the earlier tip offs that are kind of a bit of a struggle for the Wolverines, if they're just, they can't get that morning cobwebs out or something like that, or what it is exactly. But I mean, right now, I mean, that game with Wisconsin really is the beginning stretch of these these tough games that Michigan has got, really all the way to the end of the season.
No, you're right.
There's a couple games that you would probably, put a pencil of a W right next to already, with like Penn State, Rutgers, or something like that. But you only put a pencil in, but it's a light mark.
I don't know. After watching what Rutgers did
to not only Ohio State but now to Nebraska.
Exactly.
As well.
I don't. I mean, again, Nebraska was my surprise team that was finally going to get over the hump that they're going to make it to the NCAA.
I kicked back down the hill.
Exactly. They're fighting back up the hill. And Ohio State, again, you brought up Ohio State. again, I thought they were better than what their record is showing. And look, the Big Ten is tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's a battle. I mean, it's going to be a battle to get through this.
No, no doubt about it. I mean, it's going to come down when it comes down to like how the seeding is going to go for mm-hmm. for the actual tournament itself. It's going to come down to the last day to find out the top seeds or whatnot, especially even in the middle too. Because I mean, if you look at the standings in the Big Ten, I mean, Michigan State's at the top, then Michigan and Maryland at 7-2. Then after that, it's essentially giant question mark at starting at 4 all the way down to probably tied for 5th.
Sure,
because Purdue's 5-2, Iowa's 5-3, the Minnesota, Wisconsin are both 4-3. Indiana's 3-4, Nebraska's 3-5, Ohio State's 2-4, Northwestern's 2-5, Rutgers is 2-6. Anything, I mean, just in one game's time, you can that entire Big Ten standing will end up changing just in one game.
Oh, without a doubt.
So I mean, this is one reason why a lot of people are looking at the Big Ten as being the conference in college basketball this mm-hmm. season, right up there with the ACC.
Well. I've suggested that this team, this league has gotten to the ACC level.
Mm-hmm.
And just because of the Big Ten ACC, the matchup, and they finish tied for the first time.
Yeah.
There was no winner, but they tied them. Usually
there's a definitive winner
exactly.
or definitive winner and loser. But this year, last year was ACC dominated the Big Ten. This year, the Big Ten held tough with a lot of these teams. Mm-hmm. And, we saw some odd matched ones where, you had Duke, Indiana, where Duke just mm-hmm. ran away with it. We've obviously seen that. They're still a top five team. I think they're number two right now.
They are.
After the new poll came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you've got 2 and 3 out of the ACC
right
now. Then you got Michigan at number 5 after the poll came out yesterday.
And then you
and Michigan State at 6.
Right.
So, it just really tells you how these rankings really are working out. And, the Big Ten is really, causing a lot of waves mm-hmm. in this pool known as college basketball.
Well, it is going to be a lot of fun
oh,
now.
Oh, no doubt
it
about it.
It is going to be a ton of fun. Look forward to it. I hope, look. If you hold the home games, win the home games,
mm-hmm.
and get a few on the road, you don't have to get them all, but you got to get a few. And you know the teams you need to beat. Look, it makes good for a Big Ten run that Michigan can go on.
Mm-hmm.
I still think, this is a wake-up call. Not a lot of people are taking this as like, oh, we lost. And now they're sad that we didn't go undefeated. Look.
Be happy that we started the season. We set a new school record
mm-hmm.
for best record to start a season out. You lost to a really good Wisconsin team last
yeah.
year. They weren't good. This year, they are one of the projected 10 that could be going to the tournament
yeah.
this year.
They could get in.
Ethan Happ in his 18th season with Wisconsin.
Doesn't it seem like it?
Dude, the guy seems like he's been there forever, just like Carson Edwards at Purdue.
Yes!
How many more years are you going to be able to play down in Purdue?
Oh, my God. It does. It seems like they have been there for a long time.
Like, we slipped up, thinking that Isaac Haas was still on the team. Surprisingly, they let him graduate.
We let him go, but we're going to keep Carson Edwards.
We're going to keep Boyd out down here for a bit, but, He's in season 16 himself, but yeah, it just seems like Isaac or Ethan Happ won't go away, and he ran to a really good Wisconsin
yep.
team on their home court.
Who needed that victory?
They needed it bad.
Yes, and you could see it.
Mm-hmm.
You could see it in the joy of the crowd. Look, Michigan's got to look. You're going to be tested now. You were ranked number 2 in the country, slated to be number 1 had you won.
Mm-hmm.
So every game, they want you. You are the hunted now.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the hunter. You are the hunted. And they got to remember that. We need to go to a break. We come back. More good stuff. You're listening to the M Zone.